Well, it's my great pleasure to welcome into the studio today John Nelson, who's a candidate for the U.S. House of Representatives in the contested races that we have in the August 21st, 2018 primary.
I'm happy to be here back again in Palmer.
What I'm going to do is just remind listeners of the theme that we've used throughout these interviews, and that is the faster things change, the harder it seems to adjust to the change. So we have a series of questions, and I'll ask them for you one at a time. In Alaska, some Native elders have been heard saying, our traditional knowledge is no longer reliable. Describe how you think this observation applies to politics in Alaska.
You know, Mike, that's a really good question. Modern knowledge changes much faster than traditional knowledge. Traditional knowledge in the rural villages in Alaska must be preserved while adapting to the changes outside. We can apply these equally to the political environment or the rural communities. The traditional methods of transportation with dog sleds in the villages was simple in the past. If the sled broke down, they simply left the sled behind and walked home. You left behind and it was absorbed back into the environment because it was made out of wood. Yet today, in our modern sled, the snow machines are four-wheelers, they break down, they leave them behind, and they're left behind. They don't have a mechanism for absorbing those into nature. It's very easy. They have to learn to bring them back and either repair them or restore them or use them for parts for something else. And addressing the village honeypots is the same thing. We must solve this modern knowledge and with modern knowledge and technology while preserving and respecting the traditional knowledge of the rural communities. They must work together, and we must retain traditional knowledge but incorporate that modern knowledge in solving the increasing changing environment. Elders pass their knowledge and experience to the next generation through stories, and Alaskans must learn to apply this changing political environment as well. Which is why I'm running for Congress. We have an elder congressman who's 85 years old and not getting any younger. We have to work to transfer that knowledge and experience to the next congressman. Me? That's why I'm running. Because I believe that my skill set is perfectly suited to transfer that knowledge and lead the next generation. I have the skill set and expertise right now. As an Alaska native with a small N, you know, I was born and raised here. I'm a financial advisor, and I will use modern knowledge and technology to lead our current generation to solve the current issues that we have while respecting the traditional cultures and values with the Alaska natives. I will then work to transfer the leadership to the next generation of leaders before leaving Washington, because that's what leaders do. They raise up the next generation of leaders.
Thank you. Question number two. In your life to date, how have you managed adapting to change?
I have to chuckle about that because having been born and raised in Anchorage, a product of the 64 earthquake, it's been all about adapting changes all of my life. I was raised as a latchkey kid and a typical childhood raised by my mom and several stepdads. For the most part, I grew up on O'Malley, moved to Wasilla, attended Wasilla High School, and then I moved back into Anchorage where I attended Service High School. And then my mom and stepdad decided to move to Hawaii for 18 months, which is the only 18 months I've been out of Alaska since 1964. And you talk about change. I went to high school on the big island of Kailua-Kona up in Konawanahai up in Kealakekua. And that is where I learned to really respect culture. And it was totally different. The Asian culture, the Hawaiian culture, the Samoan community, it's all about community. And I came back to Alaska and raised my family here. But I've applied that into my adult life. And it's been a big part of who I am. And we live in a world that's changing fast. And we need leadership who is capable of leading Alaska into the next generation while adapting to change.
Thank you. Question number three. If you consider yourself a conservative, describe the best qualities and achievements of liberals with whom you have worked, or vice versa.
Well, Mike, in my opinion, liberal means more, conservative means less. And I do consider myself a conservative, but more of a constitutionalist with conservative values, with some liberal tendencies. You know, I like my red wine. Yet I have to moderate even that. And applied to government, I believe that less intrusive government in our daily lives, the better off we'll be. Liberals values having more. And I think that playing emotion on the heart is where the liberals do a better job at. They have more emotion, but applying it to government control, it's too much. They're about passion and about the environment. They're passionate about emotions, that, and they get worked up into a frenzy about our current president. And our media spins that facts to stir up their emotions. Yet they ignore this, the roots of the facts, and then only apply it with their biasness. Yet if we applied that same emotion to the good that has and is being done, then perhaps this would help liberals recognize that the president is not the source of our problems. We are. And it's actually, I believe he's working to restore law and order from an already corrupt and broken system. My grandparents moved to Alaska in 1948. My grandmother used to tell me, you know, if the federal government went away tomorrow, we wouldn't even know. That's how irrelevant the federal government used to be in our lives. But we've just now allowed the government to become too liberal and expecting them to solve all of our issues. And this is where federal overreach destroys states' rights, and we must work to preserve state sovereignty. What business do I have telling you, Mike, how to run your business? What business does Alaska have telling Texans how to run their business? What business does New York have telling Alaskans how to run our business? That's why we created the Constitution as a contract, a compact, if you will, among sovereign states. And we have to work together as independent states. And I believe that if we stick to the Constitution as our guiding principles, we can lead our country forward. But we must stop this discourse of division that's destroying our nation and then apply unity, because that's the solution. We've got to come together. We've got to make a difference in our own lives and in our businesses and in our own communities and in our states. If we right the man, then the whole world will come together. So we must work on ourselves first.
Question number four. How do you accommodate for the range of views your constituents possess? How do you address the requests and policy interests of constituents that are in a different party or donated to an opponent in an election?
Well, Mike, my uncle is a microbiologist and a professor back at Chapel Hill, North Carolina, and he's a Democrat. We love each other. He supports me in my life, and he has actually contributed to my campaign because he cares about me. My mother, before she passed away last year, she was also a Democrat. We worked together, we shared our opinions, and at the end of the day, we gave each other a hug and went home because we love each other and we care about each other. You know, if my house or if my neighbor's house was on fire, I was not raised to run over there and say, wait a minute, are you a D or an R before I jump in and help him? Or am I just going to go help him? Because that's the way I was raised. We have to help our neighbors because it's the right thing to do. And let's face it, we're all in the same boat. We're all in the same community. We're all in the same state and in the same country and in the same world. We've got to work together. We've got to focus in on the principles that make us great. And we can agree to disagree on all the other stuff that we're going to disagree on anyways. But let's agree to the things that we can agree on. That's why I focus in on the Constitution. And we've got to come back to that. And then, use that as our guiding principles.
Question number five. The president has arguably become a polarizing factor in the country at large and within the U.S. Congress. If you are elected this fall, how do you propose to work with both the president and different groups in Congress?
Boy, you've got that right, Mike. I'll tell you what, that's a very polarizing, opinionating discourse that I keep hearing out there over time and time again. And I look at that and I think, what difference can I make personally? I've never met the president before in my life, yet we hear all this rhetoric. And so if I go back to Washington, if Alaskans want me to go back and represent all Alaskans fairly in Congress, then I will use the Constitution as my guiding principles. We must apply this equally to all laws. If something is unconstitutional, we must discuss abolishing it. If it serves a greater good and we need to amend something in the Constitution, then we can discuss that too. Yet restoring law and order to Washington is a priority. Not just the current administration, but this goes back decades, Mike. As a financial advisor, I am already held to a higher standard than our elected officials. If I did what they did back in Washington, D.C., I'd be thrown away in jail with the insider trading and the backroom deals these guys have had been going on for decades. I take ethics on an annual basis, and I think we need to hold our elected officials to a higher standard as well, which is why I put on my website my We the People application. And I encourage your listeners to go to my website, johnnelsonforalaskans.com, all spelled out, and look at my We the People application, because then they can really understand the principles of the Constitution that I already understand and how I will apply that to lead Alaskans. And then I challenge every elected official to fill out the exact same application. And so we can see where they stand on the law, because that is a contract. It's a binding contract. It's a compact that we've made between all states. We have a president who is not popular to the media. They're trying their best to discredit him. And I believe that's because he's working to restore law and order. Albeit, he has a sharp tongue, but I can't control that. But we must not lynch him and hang him before the evidence is actually gathered and presented. Not just the rhetoric, but the actual factual evidence. And we must demand that the FBI confiscate the servers that is supposedly holding the evidence. And then we must look at the first documents that were produced that accuses someone. And then point out to the collusion. And then look at the motives of why these documents were presented as supposed fact. Until we do that, all of it's just rhetoric. Applying my expertise, though, in Congress, I believe is a huge benefit. Who better to send back to Washington, D.C. to address the current issues that I can affect? And as a financial advisor, my expertise is perfectly suited to address the $21 trillion in debt that we have, the $1 trillion or $2 trillion, depending on who you ask, that we're mortgaging our children's and grandchildren's futures by. We've been called the greediest generation because we keep mortgaging and passing the buck to the next generation. We have to address Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, and health care. I am already licensed right now in the state of Alaska with the Division of Insurance to provide health care insurance solutions to business owners and Alaskan individuals. And I'm already licensed in that field. I think I understand a little bit about healthcare and Social Security and Medicare and Medicaid. Those are all in my wheelhouse as a financial advisor. I help my clients put together a retirement plan strategy. I help them with legacy planning, wills, estates, and trusts. And that's why I applied the same principles I apply to business owners on succession plans and transition strategies, and why I've approached this election and wrote Congressman Young a letter requesting that he retire and apply my succession plan to lead Alaskans into the next generation. And I'm giving all Alaskans a choice to vote on August 21st in the Republican primary. Whether the Republicans, undeclared or nonpartisan, they can choose a Republican ballot. And it's up to them. I think it's time that we make a change, but it's going to be really up to all Alaskans if they think it's time that we transfer that knowledge and expertise to the next congressman.
Well, thank you, John Nelson, for answering the questions. This is an opportunity to add final comments before we finish up. Is there anything you'd like listeners to hear?
You bet. You know, Mike, I appreciate you allowing me to come in and talk to your listeners and get in your ear for a moment. And, you know, I was born and raised in Alaska. This is my home. And it's not the same Alaska that I saw growing up. And I'm really concerned for my children and my grandchildren. You know, I'm a first-generation Alaskan myself, a product of the 64 earthquake, as I mentioned earlier. But my grandchildren are third-generation Alaskans. We are not Alaskan natives, but we are native to Alaska with a little N. And we have to look forward to the future. Alaska is the wealthiest state in the Union, but you couldn't see it on the streets and in our communities. And that's a deep concern that we have. We have to solve these at a local level, at a state level, and at the federal government level. We have to kick the feds out, if you will, and restore state sovereignty so we can responsibly develop the resources in Alaska. We have to work towards getting away from the dependency on oil that we have with alternative sources of energy. We can do this responsibly. You know, we have to be mindful of our environment. You know, I hear about global warming and climate change. Well, it's been changing every day since I was raised, you know, every day in Alaska. You just look outside and that's what you get. I remember going to the parking lot in Portage Glacier and seeing the glacier from the parking lot instead of going around the corner now. So it is changing. But yet we let our forests burn down instead of harvesting that wood and putting it to market. And it's with exports that we can develop wealth. And we can be the greatest state in the nation if we can work together. And that's what I get worked. That's what I intend to do in Congress. If Alaskan voters think it's time, I believe it's time, which is why I've taken the approach now to work towards transferring that knowledge and expertise and experience to the next congressman. The way I see that happening is I will be willing to take back Congressman Young as my advisor. And I would expect to see, I would expect to him to transfer this expertise by saying, don't go down that path. That's a swamp. Stay out of these people's ways. These people are no good. This is a man that you can trust. And here's how we've done it for 45 years. And these are the issues that are important to all Alaskans. And here's why we've done what we've done and how we've done it. And then apply my principles of the Constitution and understanding of the compact that we have to solve Alaskans' issues in Washington and be the only voice of Alaskans. I think it's time, but it's up to your listeners and all Alaskans on August 21st that they get out to vote, they pick up the Republican ballot, and they choose that it's time for a change. And that's what we need to do. We have to get involved. And I encourage your listeners to get more involved.
Thank you, John Nelson, for coming in today.
You bet. Thanks for having me.